Kent TC, Vice President, Minstar Bank, and Farm Management Analyst.
Kent, let's talk first of all about the Minnesota Beef Expo, which is coming up later this week, and some of the things that are planned for the event this year.
Well, the Minnesota Beef Expo will be held this weekend, actually the 17th annual Minnesota Beef Expo, and it'll be Thursday the 20th through Sunday the 23rd at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. The actual public event really kind of kicks off on Friday with a large trade show in the Coliseum at the State Fairgrounds, and that'll start Friday morning at 10 o'clock, and will be run every day from 10 till about 5 in the afternoon. Thursday actually is entry day, and there's several youth activities that day. There'll be a youth knowledge bowl in the afternoon. Then there'll be some seminars from 2:30 till about 8 o'clock in the evening for youth that are participating at the Minnesota Beef Expo. We're expecting about 500 youth to participate in this year's expo and about 800 entries of cattle, so it should be a very large show. Friday, we have a youth judging contest in the morning, and then we have our youth showmanship contest in the afternoon. Also a fitting contest for youth. They're in teams of four and actually fit cattle, so it's kind of fun to watch even if you're not participating. Saturday, October 22nd, is sale day. We'll have about 100 head of cattle, both prospect and breeding heifers, as well as prospect show calves, market show calves. It'll be sold starting at noon that day. There'll be a sale cattle show in the morning. And then Saturday afternoon is the traditional Supreme Row Championship, which kicks off at 4:30 in the afternoon in the Coliseum at the State Fairgrounds with a market beef show, and then the Supreme Row Selection and Dinner will be honoring the new 2016 Minnesota Beef Ambassadors. We'll be announcing the achievement winner from the Minnesota Youth Beef Experience Program from last year, and announcing 11 young people that will be awarded heifers by donors to take care of the heifers for a year and bring them back to the 2017 Expo. And then Sunday is the grand finale. That's our big junior show. We'll be showing around 800 head of junior show cattle in two rings, purebred heifers, and prospect show calves, and it all wraps up about 3:30 in the afternoon with the Supreme Championship. So lots of activities, a lot of junior activities, a big trade show, big sale on Saturday, lots of fun activities. And if you just enjoy beef cattle on a nice fall day, a great place to come Friday, Saturday, or Sunday at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds.
Kent, you're around young people in settings like this year-round. What, in your opinion, are the greatest benefits for these young people, whether it be the responsibility that they possess and the skills that they're able to work on, but from in your experience, so how do you think these types of activities really benefit young people?
Well, they really do. You know, most of these young people, they come from Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, as well as a few entries from some other surrounding states. And, you know, if you've been involved in the beef business or raised beef cattle, that's a year-round activity. Most of these young people are involved in the breeding portion of the beef division. So in other words, many of them start out with a show heifer, and they keep the heifer, and they breed her to have a calf. And what we've tried to do over the years with the Beef Expo is keep a focus on the junior part of the show, which is one reason we have it the third weekend in October, because, of course, in Minnesota, that's traditionally known as MEA weekend, and the 4-H and FFA youth don't have school on Thursday and Friday, so they are available to take part in this. And we find that it's a night, most of the youth obviously gear their projects toward summer events through FFA and 4-H, county fairs and state fairs and other junior activities, and this is kind of an alternative. And the other thing we try to keep, offer things like the Knowledge Bowl and judging contest and fitting contest to kind of introduce youth to the well-rounded aspects of the beef business, the seminars that we have. And a good way for if a new family wants to get started, they can come and take part in these activities. There's a lot of networking that goes on with experienced youth beef exhibitors, experienced breeders that have cattle at the sale. And the one neat thing about this is if you buy a calf in the sale, you can show the calf the next day, the sale Saturday, and if you buy a prospect heifer or steer calf in that sale, you'll have the breeders there to help get it ready and show you how to groom them and give you advice on how to feed them. So it's really geared as a learning activity for youth.
Beef Expo is Thursday through Sunday. If you said it already, Kent, I missed it. Approximately how many young people will be participating in that?
We're expecting total about 500 young people will participate in this event, and we expect about 800 head of cattle to show in the junior show on Sunday. So very large event, and again, if you've never been there, if you just enjoy, the nice thing is you can go to the state fairgrounds. There, you don't have to check in at the gate. You can park on the grounds, and all of the events take place in the Coliseum and the two large cattle barns that are close to the Coliseum. So it's a very tight event. You don't have to do a lot of extra walking, and fun time, great to visit with cattle people and other exhibitors that are at the event.
All right, let's talk Harvest 2016, the latest progress numbers out from USDA yesterday, and soybean harvest is pretty close to the five-year average now, as last week allowed many farmers to play catch-up. Corn harvest is still a bit behind statewide, but overall, you cover a pretty large area in southern Minnesota, Kent. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. Last week was a good week. Avoided a lot of rainfall last week, so even in some of the wet areas, I think a lot of farmers were able to kind of catch up on that soybean harvest a little. One of the challenges, I think, with the soybeans is there were a lot of acres that in some areas that had to be left where the fields were too wet. So probably that last 5 to 10% of the soybeans may take a while to get out in some areas where they had to leave some, because some of these fields are still very wet, and we were fortunate now this week that we didn't get heavy rains, just some lighter rains, so that should help. And, you know, once they get through the soybeans, they're moving right in the corn, so harvest progress should continue here with another nice stretch of weather coming.
What are you hearing regarding yields for both corn and soybeans?
Well, the yields overall in the soybeans, I think, have been pretty good. I'd say in general, depending where you are and what your normal average yields are, a lot of producers are getting 5 to 10 bushels an acre or more above their average yields where they haven't had serious weather challenges with too much rain or hail or other problems. Now you get in some of those areas and the yields are probably falling a little closer to average yields. And in some cases may drop below if you got some severely damaged fields. But overall, I think it's been kind of a pleasant surprise in the harvest so far, as the soybean yields have been very good. And in fact, in many areas where they didn't have a lot of weather challenges, I think soybean yields probably actually exceeded a year ago. And so it's been a pleasant surprise. Now, I think as we get into the corn, it's going to be a little more challenging, because the corn, in addition to the heavy rains and hail, some areas of the state had that mid-May frost that caused some damage and some late-season disease challenges. So I think the corn yields are going to be much more variable. There will be some very good, but there is also going to be some that aren't going to be quite as good. So not expecting quite the across-the-board successful yields that we saw in the soybeans, but I think there'll be still be some very good yields in some areas of the state. The good news on the corn is the above normal growing degree units we had late in the growing season from late August through September into early October has dried most of the corn down, so A lot of the corn will not require much supplemental drying, which will cut on the drying costs. So the corn should be able to go right into storage on the farm or be hauled directly into processing plants without much dockage for extra moisture. And the quality of the corn, at least what we've heard early on here, is very good. So that should be good news. And overall, I think considering the kind of year it's been, probably as good as we could expect. And at least now in most areas with field conditions drying out, the harvest won't be quite as challenging as it appeared a couple, 3 weeks ago.
Are you hearing many concerns about stock quality as we get later into October? And you mentioned all the challenges that farmers have faced this growing season. We've had some windy days recently. So is there much concern about the standability of corn?
Well, I think, again, hopefully producers have been monitoring that and getting those fields out first. There certainly is a lot of concern. I know many of the agronomists have talked about weaker stalks and some stalk rots and diseases, especially some of those areas that had excess moisture and excess rainfall and standing water during September into early October. So, again, I think most producers are going to be fairly aggressive getting the corn out of the field, especially in those challenging areas. And as I mentioned, the corn is dry, so there's really no reason to leave it out there any longer than you have to. So hopefully we can avoid serious losses, but as we get later and with some strong winds, you certainly get concerned about more stalk breakage and ear droppage.